appreciate His presence today. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His truth to us, church. Where would we be without it this day? Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm telling you that I'm so glad and delighted that you are here in God's house today. I'm glad to be here. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I wish more were here, but you're here. We're here and God's here. I have as important a message to preach to you this morning as I have ever preached. How many really believe we're living in the end times? Amen. Because if we really believe we're living in the end times, there is a particular way that you and I should live. There are certain things that you and I should be doing. Amen. And a few weeks ago, we were at a conference in Waxhaw, North Carolina. And we were discussing our covenants and talking about our civil covenant, and that is between the subjects or the people, the citizens of the land, and the governors. And there's a covenantal relationship between those two. We're discussing our civil responsibilities, civic duties, and out of that, the Lord disturbed me on something, and a passage that I've preached many, many times, but God brought me back to it and brought some fresh things to my mind. And I'm going to ask you to please listen very carefully. I intend to stir you by the help and grace of God today. I've been stirred. I pray that you will be stirred. I do not intend for this message to come across in any condemnatory manner. I don't wish that. But I want it to stir us. That's what I want. And I want us to be a church that is what God wants it to be. Amen. I'm not interested in just maintaining the status quo. Amen. I'm not interested in just nominalism. I want to be on fire, charging ahead, making an impact on the world in which you and I live. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you cannot, and even as a church, I don't know, we've been making some impact and God's been helping us, but I don't think it's been as enough as it ought to be. And it will require some changes in us. And I believe that God's going to help us in these days ahead to do some things to prepare the church. There are some mindsets that we have sometimes have to deal with, that I've had to deal with and will have to deal with, that sometimes need to be changed in order for us to see something different take place. Amen? Amen. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. It doesn't work. If we want different results, we have to do something different. And I just believe God's going to be with us today. I'm just challenging you to please pay close attention to what I've got to share with you this morning. Three verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of man cometh. Yes. Amen. I don't look for confirmations, but I do appreciate the song. It was chosen by Brother John this morning and talks about His coming. He's coming. I have so often heard He's coming again. 'Tis written in His Word. And I want to share with you this morning, are you watching? Are you watching? Would you say amen to the reading of God's Word? Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm going to cover quite a bit of ground by the help and grace of God fairly Quickly, I want you to please hang with me this morning and keep your Bibles open so you can read as I share some things. If you would turn back to the beginning of chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew, we note and have noted many times, you're familiar with it. Jesus Christ is now giving his last time prophecy. He has been in the temple. He's in the week prior to his crucifixion. He's daily in the temple teaching the Word, and he spends his nights in the Mount of Olives. And this particular occasion, as he has left the temple, he in Luke chapter 21 records the prophecy that he gives at the temple. And then later that evening when they arrive at the Mount of Olives, that prophecy has provoked questions again in the minds of the apostles. And four of them come to him and they ask him, and he responds again with what we consider one of those great discourses of Jesus and an end time prophecy of our Lord. And he shares with them events that are going to unfold in the end times. I want you to notice some things that are going to take place, and I want you to particularly note the repetition of a particular word. Now, they've asked two questions. They've asked him, Lord, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? They want to know when, and they want to know about a sign that's going to take place. That's what they're asking for. He doesn't immediately tell them when. He doesn't immediately give them a specific sign, but he talks about general signs that are going to take place. He talks about them not being deceived. And I want you to notice in verse 5, there's a word that is repeated quite frequently throughout this passage. And he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You're going to notice that repetition of the word many. Many coming, professing to be Christ, and many will be deceived. You can go on the internet and you can Google that, the idea of men that profess to be Christ. You would be amazed at men in the last century who have claimed to be Jesus Christ and are claiming to be essentially the I Am. But he said many would come and many would be deceived. Then he talks about there would be wars and those things. Many wars are going to come, or wars and rumors of wars. And then he talks about nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. All of these natural disasters are going to take place, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then he talks about persecution that will come. Notice in verse 10, many be offended, and they shall betray one another and hate one another, but many will be offended. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And verse 12, and iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. And he tells us that again and again. Then the gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. That becomes the final sign. When the gospel in the world is preached for all a witness, then shall the end come. They wanted to know when it would come. He said it's going to come when the gospel of the world has been, gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for a witness. Now, we as an individual will probably not know that exact time. We will not know that. But we only know that we've got a responsibility. We've got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The end is not coming until the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for the witness. If you want the end to come, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because it's not coming until the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world. Then he talks about during the tribulation. He talks about the sign that would take place at the middle of the tribulation. The abomination of desolation. I'm not going to go through all of that this morning, because that's not the point that I want to deal with. But he gives the sign that would take place at the middle, gives some instructions. You and I don't particularly